Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm glad you're here today at Five Forks Baptist Church. And if you're visiting with us, you're here for the first time, please take a moment after the service. Come by the front door of the church. I'm going to be there and I want to meet you and just speak with you even for a moment. I want to welcome Kevin and Mandy and their children, Dylan and Jocelyn as well. It's been a good week, a first week with Kevin on staff here. And I noticed he has the first office when you come in the front door of the office building. He's on the right. And he, there's times that he's just closed both the door to the hallway, the entrance, and the other door that goes out into the hallway of the office suite. And I've looked in a time or two because normally that door is not closed. And when I looked in, he's doing this kind of thing. And I said, oh my goodness, we've called a Pentecostal. Amen. Amen, there you go. And there's some Baptistals here, I know, right? Amen. I are one too, all right. But then I looked a little closer and he had these earbuds on. And he was practicing. And you know what? Him sitting there doing that, he could do it all week long if it leads to what he did this morning, what God did through him. Just good worship. Good worship. I praise God for it. I want to thank Mark, too, for emphasizing the persecuted church Sunday, which is today around the world. I hope you get your orange wristband and also a little prayer guide here. I want to share with you just to begin the service today, begin my sermon today, and I'm going to be in John 14 and 16 if you want to turn there, but if you'll bring that little slide up of this woman, this Pakistani woman, let's put a face to persecuted Christians because this is her story this past Wednesday, okay? Off and on the last several years, she's been in the news, but she's been in jail. And the reason she's in jail, and by the way, her name is Asia Bibi, and she lived in a little village in Pakistan. In the year 2009, in June of that year, Asia became involved in a dispute with her Muslim neighbors. Her family was the only Christian family in that village, and her neighbors objected to her as a Christian using the same cup to fetch water from a well as they did. They didn't want to use the cup that a Christian used. And so a few days later, the neighbors successfully petitioned the local cleric, the head of the village mosque, to charge her with blasphemy for insulting the Prophet Muhammad. What she actually said was this: I'm not going to convert to Islam. I believe in my religion and in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for the sins of mankind. What did your Prophet Muhammad ever do to save mankind? They considered that blasphemous. She was arrested and in prison awaiting trial. 16 months later, a judge found her guilty and sentenced her to death. She has been appealing that decision ever since. And this past Wednesday, God released her. But the story's not over, because now she and her family members need to get out of Pakistan, because if they stay in Pakistan, they will die. Someone will kill them. But to find a way out, to find a safe way out, a successful way out, that's what we need to pray for. I'm going to take 15 seconds to pray for her, okay? Father, I thank you for Asia Bibi, for her courage. I want to thank you how she stood strong for you, Jesus. Thank you, God, you released her from prison. But now, it seems like she needs to be released. She and her family need to be released from Pakistan to find a new home where they can serve you. I pray for that. I pray for your will, because you're going to use this for good. I know you promised, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, for her and her family to get out of Pakistan, they need a guide, don't they? They need a guide to get them safely out, to find the best way, someone who knows the terrain, someone who knows what's going on. You and I need a guide as well. That's what we're going to speak of today, because I began a series 2 weeks ago about your future, about knowing where you're going in your future, today, tomorrow, and the days beyond as well. God has promised, as we want to know where we're going, God has promised this in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord God, plans for your welfare, not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Asia and her family need a guide right now to get out of Pakistan. She also needs the guide I'm going to share with you today as well, because you and I as Christians need a guide as well. We need, some of us are facing decisions now, and we're trying to make them in our own wisdom, and we're trying to make them in our own strength. But you know what? God has given us a guide. God has given us a guide to teach us what we need to know. And you know what that is? It's God's will. Some of others are seeking God's will right now. And for the future of the Christian religion, for the church in America, for Baptist churches, did you know that in the state of South Carolina in the year 2017, 100 Southern Baptist churches did not baptize one person? Isn't that something? And now what the convention, and really what the Southern Baptists can do nationwide, is it's not, Lord, bring a revival, even though we could use that. It's, Lord, revitalize us. And you're hearing revitalization of churches and all, to get churches back, dying churches, to get back to the nuts and bolts of what we're here for. And that's to preach the gospel and to win people to Christ. It seems like more than ever that our concern for the lost is decreasing here. So pray for that. But let's look at ourselves this morning, all right? 2 weeks ago, or last week, the first week that I preached this, I preached on choosing the right values. If we don't have the right values, God's values for our lives, if we don't choose those, we've got the wrong foundation, and we could waste our lives. Today, I want us to look at choosing the right guide for our lives. And God has provided both a guidebook, which is His Word, and a personal guide, who is the Holy Spirit. And that guide, that Holy Spirit, will interpret the guidebook for us, okay? Jesus said, right before His death and crucifixion, He was looking ahead and said, I'm going to have to leave you. But I'm going to send it somebody. I'm going to send a helper, a counselor, an advocate. And the Bible calls that helper the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. In John 16:7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak of whatever He hears. Now, the Holy Spirit's coming from heaven. Boy, I'd like to know everything that He's heard up there, wouldn't you? And He'll share that. He will also declare to you, Jesus said, what is to come. He's the guide for our lives. He will guide, He will lead, He will direct, and He will show us. John 14, go back two chapters, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said this, I will personally ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world, the unsaved, are unable to receive Him because they don't see Him. They don't know Him. And He's looking at you and me, but you do know Him. You know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. Paul said, Christians, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was the need for the Holy Spirit? Can I give you about 5 minutes of teaching right quick? Can we just go back to a foundation here? For some of you, this will be brand new. For others, that you've never heard it before. For a few others, you may need to connect the dots, and it will all come together when I share this with you, okay? The Bible gives two phrases about our spiritual condition, all right? One is, you're either saved, you believe in Jesus Christ, that He's God's Son, He died for our sins, arose from the grave, you received Him by faith in that. You're born again. You've become a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you've lost the joy of your salvation and the blessing of being a temple of the Holy Spirit, you've lost your reason for being born again. It's just as simple as that. The other word, one is saved, the other word is lost. And they draw a clear line spiritually down the middle of the road. Everyone in the world is on one side or the other. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. So whether you're saved or lost determines whether God lives in your heart or not. No lost person, no one who has not believed in Jesus Christ, can be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all it takes, okay? Now, here's the teaching moment, all right? We're going all the way back to the beginning. God created Adam and Eve. They were perfect. They had perfect fellowship with God. God's presence was with them and in them. They placed them in a garden. And in order for man to have the ability to truly love God, God knew that He had to give man the opportunity to choose to love God or not love God. A choice had to be given. And He made that choice by telling Adam and Eve, you've got 10,000 trees here in the garden. You can eat off any of them, but don't eat off of that one tree. That tree is the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you will die. What did they do? They ate off of the tree He told them not to, right? They disobeyed God. They insulted God. Adam didn't commit murder. He didn't commit adultery. But he failed to love and obey God. That was his great sin. That's what's been passed down to you and I. And the result of sin was death. Now physically, you can read in the Bible, he lived several hundred more years. And we need to understand this thing about if you sin, you shall die. The day he bit into that fruit, Adam and Eve died spiritually. Now, spiritual death is not the separation of the soul from the body, okay? Spiritual death is this. It's worse. It's the separation of our spirit from God. And the day Adam sinned, God moved out of his life because God is not going to live in a dirty house. God's spirit to the human spirit is like blood to the physical body. God is the life-giving power of the human spirit. John 1:4. In Him, Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And when Adam sinned, the Lord went out. And when the Lord went out, the life went out. And when the life went out, the light went out of Adam. Adam was minus God in his spirit. God no longer lived in him. Adam was now a natural man, a man of the world. Boy, that's a downer, isn't it? Here's the good part, okay? Salvation, when a person believes in Jesus Christ, that's not merely getting man out of earth and into heaven, okay, when he dies. But it's about getting God out of heaven and back into man. And when a person receives Christ and is born again, God has promised this. He's going to reverse the effects of sin. That's what God did in Jesus Christ when He came to earth. And that's not all. God's justice, for God is a holy and a righteous and a just God. God's justice demands that our sin be dealt with. And Jesus Christ died to remove the sin barrier so that God can once more come to live in man. It was man's sin that caused God to move out of him. And he can't return to man until that sin is properly dealt with. That's why the cross of Jesus Christ and his death upon it is absolutely necessary. Because Jesus took our sins and he took God's punishment for our sins upon himself. Now, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is now free to move into a cleansed temple of our bodies to live in us. Now we have life. Now we can be connected with God. Now we can be led by his Holy Spirit who lives in us. Can I tell you something? This is one of the most important things you'll ever learn in life, is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says this in Romans 8:14, all those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. Did you hear that? Those who are led by God's Spirit, they're the ones who are God's children. So if I'm not led by the Holy Spirit, that's a sign I'm not in God's family. I'm not a child of God. I'm not going to heaven. And the mark that we are a believer, that we're a child of God, we're a daughter of God, we're a son of God, is that the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. Now, when you first start off your Christian life, you're not very good at this, what I'm about to tell you. You don't really know how to let the Holy Spirit lead you. But you can get better at it as time goes by, and you're going to learn to understand and to hear his voice. Let me illustrate. If you're married, if you've been married for some time, and your phone rings and you pick it up, you don't have to say, or if you're calling your spouse, you don't have to say, hey, this is your husband, or hey, this is your wife, because when they say hello, you know the voice, right? You know it. Same with your children as well. You know their voices. When you first start walking with Christ, you don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's hard to go, is this God talking with me, or is this something I'm thinking about, that movie I saw last night, or a bad pizza I ate, or whatever it may be, okay? As you grow in the Lord, though, you get better understanding his voice. And you'll go, that's God. That's God speaking to me. That's God speaking to me right now. That's God talking to me. And he puts his impressions in our mind and he leads us. Now, this is some ways, real quickly, ways that the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, all right? These are things that he does for you and I. First of all, he teaches us the things that we need to know. There are some things that we need to know, and if we don't know, we're going to fail. It's essential information, because there's a lot of stuff we need to know about life and all, okay? Jesus said in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. He will teach you in all the truth. He'll teach us what we need to know, and that means he'll teach us the truth. He'll bring into our minds what we need to know, and when we know it, at the very moment that we need it. So it's just not what, it's also the when. He's going to give it to us the very moment we need it. For instance, God is speaking to me, or through me by the Holy Spirit to you, there may be a time this week, or maybe you'll remember a portion of this sermon, or you'll remember a verse that you read, or it may be some Christian song on the radio, anything like that, but you'll be reminded of a truth that you need at that particular time. You ever had that happen to you? God will reveal things to us, and guess what? It will never, ever contradict his book. And in fact, if it does contradict the book, that's not from God. Secondly, he'll put us where we need to go. We're about to celebrate Christmas here in a month. Can you believe it? There's a character, 8 days after Jesus was born, his parents, Mary and Joseph, took him to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. There was a man by the name of Simeon. And this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon, did you hear? Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon entered the temple complex. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, and he took Jesus, he recognized him, and he took Jesus and he blessed him and he praised God and dedicated him there. If he had not obeyed the Spirit, that prompting, that nudge of the Holy Spirit to get up and go to the temple that morning, he would have missed it. God does that for you and I as well. He'll give us nudges throughout our lives about not only what to know, but where to go as well. And then thirdly, he'll teach us, he'll give us what we need to say. You ever been in a situation where you said, I don't have the slightest idea what to say right now? It may be at a funeral home. It may be in a conflict or in a situation, and it's upsetting somebody and you don't know what to say. That's when you need the Holy Spirit. Mark 12:36, Jesus is talking about King David of the Old Testament. And he said this, David himself said by the Holy Spirit. You could translate and said, the Holy Spirit led David what to say. And you know what? It's not just David. It's you and I as well. He'll put an idea in our mind and we say it. And guess what? Sometimes that will affect somebody in a way. And you don't even know that they needed to hear what you had to say. We need to do this wherever we are, with our family, at work, or wherever. Just at a moment when we don't know what to say, just in ourselves. God, I pray your Spirit would just put in my mouth exactly what to say right now. Jesus said in Matthew 10, there are times when you don't know what to say. Don't worry about how or what you should speak, Jesus said, for you will be given what to say at that hour. Because it's not you doing the speaking, he said, but the Spirit of your Father who is speaking through you. Fourthly, man, this one's important, let me tell you. In this day and time, when we have so much in our culture that's not pleasing to God, anti-God, things that are temptations for you and I, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, if we let Him be our guide, He'll help me resist the things I normally can't resist. Again, I'm talking about temptations, compulsions, desires, addictions. Galatians 5:17-18. Listen to what it says. For the flesh, our natural nature, our unsaved nature, the flesh desires what is against the Holy Spirit. The Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that at times you don't know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now what's he saying here? The Holy Spirit is stronger than willpower. The stuff that you say, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't acted that way. Why do I get so insecure? Why do I get so angry? Why do I get so shy? Why do I get so impatient? Why am I so lustful? Why do I? Why do I? Why do I? Why do I? I wish I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit's power is stronger than the self-indulgent power of your natural self. Paul then said this, I say then, let me tell you, he says, walk, live by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now notice it doesn't say this, okay? If you're guided by the Spirit, you won't have selfish desires. If you're guided by the Spirit, you won't be tempted. If you're guided by the Spirit, you won't have this in front of you. I'm sorry, but you're going to have those kind of things. It doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say we won't have them. But the Bible says this, you don't have to fulfill them. That is so important. Whatever your area of weakness is in your life, whatever it is, again, I'm sorry, more than likely you're going to have to struggle with it the rest of your life. The Bible doesn't say that when you follow the Spirit, you will no longer have temptation. No, in fact, the more that you grow as a Christian, The more temptation you're going to have, the more Satan is going to try to tempt you. Not less, more, because he's trying to take you down. Satan hates you, but God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. Do you remember? Behold, I know the plans I have for you. Satan has a terrible plan for your life. Why does Satan even care about you? Because Satan wants to hurt God. And the quickest way, the most effective way to hurt somebody is to hurt their children. Right? You'll never ever have an area in your life where you're temptation free. But if you're a Christian, the Bible says, just live by the Holy Spirit. Follow Him. And if you're guided by the Spirit, you won't fulfill them. You'll know better. All right, let me finish up real quickly. Ways, what we need to start doing every day to let the Holy Spirit be our guide. This is basic Christianity. Number one, pause and be quiet before God. Yesterday, you need to pause and be quiet to hear God's voice. Yesterday, I was out in the yard working. Yeah, I was missing the ball game, but you know what? I felt they could carry on real well without me yesterday. I was out working, and I was on my knees cleaning out a flower bed and all that kind of thing. Had my phone in my back pocket. And when I was working there, I got a little tired, and I sort of sat down on my hip. Got back up to work again, and then I heard this voice. Sorry, we're unable to make that connection right now. And it was my good friend, Siri, all right, on my phone. First of all, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know who it was. I was looking around, and this voice was coming. Sorry, unable to make that connection. Good night. The Bible says, be still, be quiet, and know I'm God. Sit down and shut up. Because during those quiet times, in our hearts and in our minds, the Holy Spirit will begin revealing the meaning of God's Word for our lives. I'm talking about the Bible. And if He's the Spirit of truth, He's certainly going to use the Bible, because the Bible is the truth, right? John 15, 26, Jesus said, when the Counselor, when the Holy Spirit comes, the one I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. He will reveal the truth. Secondly, we need to humbly ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. I zero in on that word, humbly. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us, but we've got to ask with a humble spirit, because it's our attitude the Holy Spirit is looking for, because you are talking to God after all, right? Psalm 25:9 says, He leads the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Thirdly, real quick, do what He says. Just obey it, okay? Approach this with, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, but you got to tell me first, okay? Just tell me what you'd have me to do. Fourthly, expect His guidance in faith. Just believe He's going to answer your prayer. If you're not expecting the Holy Spirit to tell you anything, then why should He tell you anything, right? James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like a surging sea, is driven and tossed by the sea. And then lastly, here's the tough one. Wait for God's response. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a rush. You may say, well, God hasn't told me. I need to go ahead and make this decision. No, you don't. Galatians 5:5 says, for through the Holy Spirit by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. What does that mean? We're led by the Holy Spirit to wait. And the confident hope of righteousness through faith that God will answer. I wish I had a glove. I meant to bring one with me. You'll just have to imagine I'm putting on a glove on my hand, okay? Now, that glove really can't do anything, can it? It's just a glove. It's just fabric that's been cut into the shape of a hand and sewn together. It can't do anything by itself. But when my hand is in the glove, it can do many things, right? It's not the glove doing those things. It's my hand in the glove that's acting. Spiritually, what I'm saying this morning for each and every one of us as a Christian, the Christian is a glove. The Holy Spirit is the hand who does the work. All we need to do, first of all, be saved, and secondly, make room for the hand so that every finger in that glove in our body is filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to ask you, we're going to sing in just a moment. I want to pray and then we're going to sing. But first of all, which side of the spiritual line are you on this morning? Saved or unsaved? You believe in Christ, His work on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, or you don't? That's the number one decision you have to make this morning. The rest of what I preach makes no sense to you if it doesn't. Secondly, I don't know what you're hoping for the future. I don't know what vision, what dream God has put into your mind. You need Him to lead you into your future. Some of that future might be the decision you're trying to make today or tomorrow or this week or whatever. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. You want to get that right, and you want to please God with it. Would you pray that? I'm going to ask you this morning, first of all, if you're not saved, will you come and speak to me down here? I'll lead you, tell you how you can be saved, your sins forgiven. Secondly, you may just want to come and to pray here at the altar, just you and God here at the altar, or you can pray in your seat. And thirdly, God's got a will and a purpose and a plan for all of us, and part of that is to be part of a church family. If He's leading you to join this family here at Five Forks, you're joining a good family, let me tell you, a family that loves God. You come and share that with me as well, your desire, what you feel God is leading you to do. Let me pray, then we're going to stand and sing. Father, now as we stand to sing, I want to thank You for the promise of Your Spirit and the work and the ministry of the Spirit in our lives. And Father, my prayer today is that everyone here is on, Lord, the saved part of that dividing line, that spiritual line. We know Jesus. If not, I pray that decision be made today. And then, God, for whatever we're facing, whatever we feel, the decisions we have to make, the direction we need, all these kind of things, God, You have a plan in the future for every decision, for every part of our lives. I pray You'll make that known to us. And for those who will come to join, God, we rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, and as God leads you to come and to be saved or to join or whatever, you come. I'll meet you here.